Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us for another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia. I'm your host, Delia Farquharson, and I'm really delighted to have the guest that we have scheduled for this evening. It's been a while, you know, I've been trying to schedule him, and it just hasn't worked out. So I think today is the ideal time for us to have a conversation with Mr. Dwayne Brown, who will be joining us shortly. Before we get started on that, though, I want to say good evening and welcome to my guest co-host, who was not here last week, my awesome husband, Raymond.
Where was he? Hi, Delia.
I don't know, but it's good to have you. So, so many things have happened. The thing that's most pressing on my mind right now is this thought of this train crash that occurred last night, which is really frightening and devastating. So, you know, it's really upsetting to see that another train has crashed, and you wonder what's at the root of it. Was it speed? I don't know. I haven't watched any coverage today. But, you know, to see what's going on with that, you know. Other exciting news that's happened is that I've decided to run for the city council here in Mount Vernon. I've declared my candidacy for city council. And, you know, it's really political and it's really a challenging and difficult endeavor. But I think that I have something to offer. I think that as an individual, as a professional, as someone who's really concerned about her community, that that I will contribute to this, you know. So I'm excited to declare my candidacy. Last week we had Wellness Awareness Week in Mount Vernon, and that went off really successfully. I wish more people had participated, but those that I think participated really felt that it was meaningful. So, you know, I'm just kind of giving the highlights of what's been happening since we last spoke. And, you know, none of these things, all of these things are very important. It's just, you know, this is a half-hour show. And so I want to make sure that we can cover it. So, what do you want to say, Raymond?
Well, congratulations on throwing your hat in the ring.
Are you really saying that, or are you going to have my head examined?
Well, I tried that the first time you ran to the school board and realized that it is what it is. It's real. And, you know, in terms of using your talent, your skills, and your abilities for the improvement of Mount Vernon as a city as a whole, I think is important, so I support you. You have my vote.
Good.
I support your endeavor. I look forward to working with you and others and the city as a whole in educating and sharing with them who you are, what you're about, and how you can best help the entire city by working with the team on the city council.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. I really am excited about
And you're right. It's politics, isn't it?
A lot of politics.
It is.
You know, and I guess you could say I'm a political novice, you know, in many ways, because, you know, there are people who have been established in the political process. So, you know, I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Like I said before, we have, as our guest this evening, a really ambitious and, I say, successful young man. He's younger than we are, honey, so he's a young man.
Yeah.
And I want to say good evening to Mr. Dwayne Brown. Good evening, Mr. Brown.
Good evening. I'm not that younger, but good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Brown.
What's
That's
up?
Great.
How are you?
Fine, thank you, sir.
How
thank
are
you?
Thank
you for joining.
No problem.
We're fine. So, you know, I'm excited that you're here because I've tried for have you on as a guest. And, you know, my first question is this. How does one become president of the Chamber of Commerce? Because I think it's a really important position. So before you tell us that, I want you to tell us what the Chamber of Commerce is, what the Chamber of Commerce does, and why having a Chamber of Commerce in a city like ours is important.
Well, thank you. The Chamber of Commerce is the business organization that foster trade and commerce to each other. So the responsibility of the chamber is to be the cheerleader of the business district of a city, to try to bring new business in, or the business that's already there, try to help them as much as we can so they can succeed, and, you know, just network with each other. If I can help, they have a problem. Because a lot of people get into business, but they don't know the technical parts of it, or, you know, they think they can just open up a store, but you got to get permits. So the chamber is there to help you through those channels if you don't know.
Right. What's the relationship?
And the importance,
go ahead.
Huh? And the importance of a chamber in a city like Mount Vernon is that there's so many different groups and there's so many different people. If you can come to one place that speaks for everybody, that helps in a city like this with so many different diversities and so many different kinds of businesses. If you can come to one location and we can talk as a group, it makes us more powerful. It makes us more, you know, Kitchen's got to listen out because, you know, we're a group that's saying something, that's involving things.
What's the relationship between, for example, the city council and, or the city, let's just say the city and the Chamber of Commerce? What should that relationship look like?
It should look like, let me see, how can I, I'm on the show, so I got to be, it should look like a partnership. It should feel like a partnership because if you have a good business district, you have a good city. If you have a bad business district, your city really can't prosper that much. So it should be a partnership. It should be, we should be allies. We should be just, you know, together, one and one. It shouldn't be any different. It shouldn't be, it should just be together, one-on-one, and it should be very, like, cohesiveness where we're both after the same thing, which is the success of the business community.
Okay, so then, therefore, when we think about inviting or attracting new business to the city, right, to build up that business base, or when we think about how planning is being done from a city perspective, how city planning is being done, are you seated at that table? Is your voice represented at that table?
No, not at all.
Do you think
that's a problem?
Uh-huh.
Do I think I should be at that table? Yeah, and not me per se, the chamber president
should be
at that table.
I mean, the Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, yeah, we're not at that table, and we should be at that table, no. We're at the next table, you know, in the corner somewhere, trying to order a meal, but we're not at the main table, no.
Right. And so, you know, I think that that idea of understanding the role of a city council, the role of a government, city government, and the role of a chamber of commerce in terms of building up that economic base, especially in a city like Mount Vernon, right?
Yes,
when you think about
a city like Mount Vernon.
Especially when you think about economic planning, you know, where are the gaps, right? Isn't that how you kind of think about it?
that's how, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. So, I mean, I'm an event planner by trade. So I started my business when I was 21. So I don't have time to make excuses or to worry about how I'm going to do it. I just have to do it. And most people who own business, that's how we have to think. So sometimes, you know, the red tape, you know, if a business owner is stuck in too much red tape, he's going to go broke.
Right. So you mentioned being an entrepreneur, right, and starting your business as a really young man, as a, you know, barely out of teens. Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us how you came to that experience of understanding that that's what you wanted to do, because, you know, especially for young kids, a lot of times when I talk to them as a social worker, a lot of kids, you say, what do you want to do when you grow up? They say, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to own my own business. You know, so you've done that. You've done that successfully. Tell me how you got started in that.
Well, I used to work at a party store. Well, it was probably meant to be, because growing up, I had jobs like I worked at country clubs, valet parking cars and setting tables. I, you know, my mother always do events, baby showers for a friend. So I probably it was in me, but what brought it out of me was I worked in a party store. And there I became a receiving manager when I was 20. And then I learned how to do balloons. I learned how to set up events. I learned how to run a party store. So when I left to go on my own, I quit before I should have quit. So when people hear me, I don't want people to, you know, I took a route that you have to have a stomach for. It's not an easy route that I took. So I left and I quit and I started my own business. But while I was in the party store, it was easy because I wasn't running my own business. I was running somebody else's business. But when I left and tried to do it myself, that's when, you know, I realized that, oh, things aren't as simple as it looked 6 months ago when I was working in a store. But, you know, I learned how to do balloons. I learned how to do arches and plan parties. And, you know, I had a daughter young, and I wanted to do something on my own. And I never looked back. And, you know, I struggled, and I learned a lot. But, like I tell young people, you know, you have to start a business young, because failing young is a little easier than failing when you're older. You know, I have a wife and four kids now. I don't think I can just take on entrepreneurship right now in my life, because it would be – I'm putting them at risk. So, you know, the younger you start, the more mistakes you get to make and get better. So by the time you become a full, you know, adult and, you know, man in your 30s, you got rid of all those mistakes and you went through everything already.
Okay. So what would you say? Raymond's wondering, what would you say to your younger self?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. If you had that conversation
say to my younger self right now?
Yeah, wow. Knowing what you know.
I would say, good question. Wow. To my younger self, I would say, you're going to be okay, so leave anyway. That's what I would say.
Right. Sometimes, you know, it's the risk and the concern. As you said, right now having, you know, and I can relate, having a wife with children and college and, you know, a mortgage or rent or whatever it might be, you know, it's the risk and the concern at any age. You know, is it worth the risk? What if I fail? And the what if questions, you know, and the unknown.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I go to schools at times and I speak with kids and I hear, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to be a business person.
A lot of them say that.
Right. So I think it's important for adults like yourself, not only being a part of the business community, but actually experiencing it through your younger life and since, being, you know, them understanding what are the tools that I need?
It's a lot of sacrifice, and it's a lonely place. I mean, no one encouraged you to be an entrepreneur until you're successful. Because when I said I want to run my own business, my mother, my friends, you know, everybody, what are you doing? You don't know nothing about business. You know, now they love me. I'm the greatest thing now because I made it somewhat. But it's a lonely place. So you have to have a lot of self-esteem. You got to have a lot of belief in yourself. And you have to sacrifice, you know. And I tell young kids, sacrifice is not just for the business community. It's for, you know, my friends that got masters in education and their high degrees, they sacrificed when everybody was partying, they were studying, you know. So it's sacrificing and understanding, you know, for years. I didn't date for years before I met my wife because I knew that that would take away from what I needed to do as an entrepreneur. And, you know, I couldn't buy certain things. I couldn't wear certain things. I couldn't drive certain things because I had to put money back into my business. You know what I mean? When my friends was going on vacation or when they was going out, I couldn't do that kind of stuff because it would affect my bottom line.
Right, right. And I think that that story, though, you know, what I hear you say is the loneliness and the sacrifice of it is, you know, that kind of grind, that kind of commitment, most people don't talk about, or when they think about being in business, they just think about the glory of, okay, I go from this great idea to I'm a big success. But that dash,
yeah,
that line in
that dash is mentally challenging.
It's
challenging. You got to be strong because no one's encouraging. You know, like you know, they don't. You know, if you're young and say I want to be a doctor, that's great. This is what they people give you advice. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a teacher. You could be anything, and people got ways. They don't ever try to talk you out of it. I want to be an entrepreneur. Why you want to do that? You can't do that. You don't have no money. You don't have this. You don't have that. You know what I mean? So you have to fight. And they don't mean you bad, so you can't take it personal. You just got to hear it, respect it, and move on and be able to close that out and move on and say, okay, listen, I know what I want to do, so I'm going to keep on going. And I volunteered a lot. I mean, I became the chamber president not overnight. I volunteered for the chamber for over 10 years of my life, volunteering, still volunteering as a president. But as an event planner, there was two things that I needed to focus and get experience. So I volunteered a lot of work for the city, and I volunteered a lot of work for the chambers because they have events, but they never want to pay. So if you say you're going to do it for free or little to no money, they'll let you do it. So
okay,
it is what it is. So. I started volunteering.
That was your strategy.
That was my strategy. And after, you know, I said, all right, I have to find a way, and I have to. And I left the party store and figure what's the best way to get experience and get myself out there. It was okay. I volunteered for City Hall, a lot of City Hall stuff, and then I met the chamber situation. I started volunteering for the chamber, and then I started planning events, being part of events. And just sitting back and watching other people, other successful people. You can't be successful if you're not around successful people. It's not, you know, you are who your friends are. My mother's from the West Indies, Jamaica. And, you know, she always drilled that into me and my little brother that, you know, you can't have, if your friends are on drugs, you're probably going to be on drugs too. It's hard to not do what your friends are doing. So you have to be around successful people in order to be successful. So I joined the chambers, volunteered, and, you know, I worked my way up. And I was willing to work my way up. I mean, I don't want nothing given to me that I don't deserve. I'm willing to work my way up.
Yeah, you know what? As you say that, because I'm from Jamaica as well, and I hear my great-grandmother used to always say, you know, show me your friends, I'll tell you who you are.
Yeah, that's what my mother said, but I was so tired of hearing it, I didn't want to repeat it, because that's what she said growing up, so I didn't want to repeat it. But that's what my mother said growing up, you know?
I'll tell you who you are. And it's good,
yeah.
You know, because that kind of kept you focused. Right,
it kept me focused. A focus, you know, and I had a young daughter at the time. My oldest daughter was 18, and I didn't want to be. I didn't grow up with a father, and I didn't want to be that. I wanted to break that cycle, so that was very important to me to show my daughter that I can be somebody.
Right. I think that, you know, again, you know, that's another really strong message that comes through because, again, even in our community. And I know, you know, this is your community, so you don't reside here anymore, but this is your community. The fact is that we see a lot of that. We see a lot of, not a lot of role models of men, for men who are responsible and who present themselves, you know what I mean? So we need more of those examples, especially for young men. Our boys are growing up, a lot of them without fathers in the home, and a lot of them are seeing the get rich quick idea. They just want to go from an idea to riches and not work for anything in between, and not understanding, for example, that you can break a cycle.
No, yeah, you can. I mean, My parents moved, my mother moved to Florida when I was 22, and I had every reason to move down there with her, but I stayed in New York without my family, so that means not having nowhere to sleep that night. I mean, I really struggled because I didn't want to, one, I didn't want to leave my daughter, and two, I didn't want to give up on my business. So, you know, I really, it wasn't easy, you know. I tell people, you know, I think people think it was easy for me, but I don't complain. But it wasn't easy. I had many nights where it was just me and God.
Right. So tell me, how did you survive? Tell me, you said it was you and God. What kept you? What kept you going? What? How come you didn't break?
Because I knew that I wasn't doing anything that was crazy. I knew, and I believed in myself. No one believes in Dwayne more than Dwayne. So. I knew why I stayed in New York. I knew what I was going after. So, and what push come to shove, I always could have went to Florida with my mother. But I didn't want to leave my daughter at the time. And I knew I was on the right track. It just, I just had to wait my turn. Like, not everything, my mother always said, not everything is for you all the time. You have to wait your turn. And I patiently wait my turn and fit in where I get in. So I'm happy I did, because it always made me humble, because I know what I went through. So I never get too big on myself, and I never get too down on myself. I stay at a five pretty much throughout my life. I may go to a seven, and I may go to a three. But I never go down to one, and I never hit a 10, because I try to stay as even keel as possible.
Okay, so you see five as even keel. Some people might see five as, you know, in the middle, as, you know, not as average.
Yeah, well, you know,
but you see as
yeah,
talent.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's even kill, you know, because when you're too far down, you can't see the top, and when you're too high, that fall is real, that fall is tough. So I don't want to fall too high, and I don't want to climb high. I always want to be, you know, even kill.
So what is your hope for the paper? What do you want to see? What do you want to achieve in your tenure as president? What do you want to see and achieve as a chamber president?
I want to see the city that I love and grew up with and gave me so much chances to once again be a jewel of Westchester. My goal is to re-raise the awareness of the chamber. So when I leave, the next president has it easier. He doesn't have to do what I have to do to get the attention to the chamber. He doesn't. He can draw a salary from it. He can. You know, I'm lucky. I'm an event planner. Yeah, I need money, but I'm able to do this without. And I have a good support system from my mother-in-law, my mother, and my wife and kids. They believe in me, so they allow me to volunteer and be a president. But I would like for the next person that they can draw a paycheck from this, and they care enough that the city sees that the chamber is a viable force to be reckoned with, and always include the chambers in what's going on. Not as that's just a chamber over there, you know? It's like when I go to other communities, the Bronx Chamber is heavily involved in the community. New Rochelle Chamber hosts the state of the city for that mayor. You know, they're involved in what goes on within the city. So that's what I would like to do when I leave. When I leave in the next couple of years, I want this chamber to be something that people are proud of, and that I want to help other young people get into business. That's my main thing, is to help other young people get into business like me.
So do you see? I wanted to ask.
So how can community members like ourselves and others, who are not necessarily in business? So if I'm in business, then therefore I come to you with business, you know, with my business issues and concerns. And but how non-business community members, how can we support you and the endeavor? Because I think if the business community in Mount Vernon is successful, it helps to elevate the city as a whole. So how can
one thing I tell people, homeowners are business people in Mount Vernon. Running a home is a business. Whether it's a one family, two family, three family, running a home is a business. So I reach out to homeowners because they are the most important business people in the area. Because if they don't support the local business, then the local business is going to go under. And if there's no local business, then their taxes have to go up, because there's nothing to draw from a tax base. So the homeowners are the most important people in the city. And I try to reach out to them and just let them know you support, you know, and you could join the chamber as a resident. You don't have to be a business to join the chamber. The fee is less. And not only that, I want you to come to the chamber. If you have a business that's giving you a hard time, I think the chamber should help too to say, go ahead.
Right, Dwayne? If I have a business idea, you can come to the chamber, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You know, Dwayne, I would like you to tell me what the message is that you want to resonate. Is there a marketing, branding strategy for the chamber, and what is it? What's the message when you think Mount Vernon Chamber of Commerce? You think what? What's that message?
A progressive thinking organization that cares about the city and wants the betterment of the city. I want you, when you think chambers, I want you to think progress. I want you to think good business. I want you to think a movement at this point.
And I'm not,
I tell people, I'm not going to be phony and pretend we're something that we're not. You know, when Mount Vernon is
number one business,
what I just had in my head. Our number one franchise is Family Dollar. Are you aware of that?
I've heard that before, so I'm not surprised because I've heard that. Because
there's three Family Dollar chains in Mount Vernon, three family chains. So while other chambers and other communities, they have a Macy's, they have a Sears, they have, you know, a hotel, they have certain things. My number one chain is a Family Dollar. That's a challenge, but and I can't fix that because the chambers didn't cause that. And if it was brought to me, I would have fought against that to say, no, you can't let them. The city of Mount Vernon, number one chain, cannot be Family Dollar. Let them have two stores. I'd rather be tied with McDonald's, Chase, and CVS and Family Dollar. And Family Dollar went ahead because they have three locations. We lost another Chase, so now we got two Chase and one left. They closed the one on Stanford Boulevard. So we're stuck with Family Dollar being our flagship store in Mount Vernon. And that's a problem because how much taxes and how much revenue are you going to get from Family Dollar? And when those kind of companies move into a city, they don't move into betterment the city. They just move to collect money from a city.
Yeah. Because it's a big company. Family Dollar is $1 million or $1 billion business, but the money doesn't stay in the community.
The money doesn't stay in the community, and they don't hire people from the community, and there's low tax bases on the community. So how much taxes can you collect if everybody's sale is only $15, $10, where other communities, they're getting $60 a sale, $70 a sale, $80 a sale. You know, that's more tax dollars so that we don't have to put it on the homeowners to pay the taxes. We have a bad business district. And we as a community have to talk about it, and I don't think we do. I think we, you know, It's too much. If I say something wrong, this one's not going to like me. If I say something wrong, but you know, I don't care about that. I'm an entrepreneur first, so I have to talk what I see. I'm not a politician. I'm not looking for votes. You know, I'll walk away from the chamber if it's a headache for me because I can't be phony. You know what I mean?
What's your contact?
How do we get in touch with you if people want to get involved? As you said, homeowners and others. How does
So homeowners, business owners, you can go to our website. You can Google the Mount Vernon Chamber, and you can call me. My number is 845-430-6273. If you need me to come speak to you, do a presentation, I will be more than happy to do that.
60 seconds.
And just be a part of the community. I thank you for the time and allow me to express my brief story. I congratulate on all the movements you do. You're a wonderful person in the city, so I congratulate you. And I just follow leaders like you.
Thank you, Dwayne. You're so kind. I want to thank you. This half hour, of course, is never enough time. But I think I really appreciate you. So I want to thank you again. And, you know, hopefully we'll do this again soon.
We'll do this again. And I just want to tell the Mount Vernon community, vote for your school board. And please vote for this mayor election. Who's in office matters. It matters. It matters. It matters. So please vote. Don't take it for granted.
Don't take it for granted.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jay.
Thank you. Have a great night.
10 seconds.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Celia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithcelia.com and like our Facebook page, Discussions with Celia. Please follow me on Twitter at Discussion Dealing. Thank you again for listening. Peace and blessings.